The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
There is the man of the moment, John Daly.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
My father's 236 yards.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
When I'm drunk.
And Brandon Spray.
Sober, it's about 220.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Let Uncle John take care of that.
Dirt and Spray on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spring on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Bring ass.
Bring ass over. How we doing this morning?
Feeling the Christmas vibes today. Feels like a nice Christmas morning.
Yes.
It is a little chilly out today.
Wash your ass. Bring ass.
Every day, man. If you don't wash your ass every day, you're due for some trouble here, right?
That's true.
That's great advice and great words to live by the one Gregory Oden. Wash your ass
wash
every day.
Wash your ass. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're almost there.
Another week flying on by.
Great.
It's amazing how long the days feel and how short the weeks feel. How long the days feel. Maybe it's just me with a two-year-old at home. Days just drag on forever sometimes.
I'm not having the reverse. I'm having the opposite.
Really?
Quick.
Quick days, quick weeks.
Tuesday, I enjoy Tuesdays
a lot. You never, because you got coach and stuff, there's not a lot of downtime for you.
There's not, but Tuesday's kind of a down-ish time for me.
Sure.
And Tuesdays, like, legitimately putting the mail sack on Tuesday has changed my entire life. It makes me happy in a way that I cannot describe.
Yeah.
I love all the questions we can't even ask on the air.
Sure, there's some that we can't get to.
Mixed with the questions we do get on the air, and then I question my answers to those questions.
Ooh, yeah, did you come up with good answers?
Right, like, hey, was that the best answer I could have given? Is that really my favorite thing? Whatever it is.
Because it's off the cuff, and so sometimes you think, like, 3 hours later, you're like, ah, damn it, why did I think of that?
Exactly.
That was a great answer.
And I go home Tuesday, I'm getting stuff done, I'm having a delightful little day, it's super nice outside, and I sit down on my bed, my daughter's hanging with me watching basketball, and I'm like, it's 8:40. Why is this day over?
How did that happen?
I don't want this to be over. She goes, it's Tuesday, Dad. Calm down. And I go, you don't understand.
You don't get it.
Tuesdays are almost my Fridays. I live for it.
By the time you get through Tuesdays, it's almost, the week's almost gone.
Hump day, I don't need it.
It just disappears on you. I do. If you're busy, like when you get home and you got activities and you're running around like kids with practices and games and there's no stopping of the shuttle time, I totally get the days going by quick.
Right.
I'm not quite in that point yet as a parent, so my days, it's more like, can we just get to the end? Like, come on, we're almost there. All right, it's almost dinner time. All right, it's almost bath time. Like, you just try to struggle through the day. And then you look up at the end of the week and you're like, wait a minute,
That's funny.
It's already Friday?
You are where I was over a decade ago. So funny to hear out loud.
Middle of the day, it's just like, God, it's only 3:00.
It's about to restart for
you, too. No, we're not picking that up right now. No, we're not going to do that right now. Please put that down. Please don't grab that.
We are living two different lives, man.
Day, all day, doesn't stop. And then I do have that feeling, though, sometimes at the end of the day where, like, he goes to bed and then you're finally, like, free to watch the things you want to watch. And the hockey was great. Yeah. The basketball was great last night.
Yeah.
And then I have that thought laying around watching the end of the games, like, dude, it's 8:45. What happened?
We have, I don't mean to get out of our conversation because I'm enjoying it. We have a weird thing that I'm seeing on our YouTube page because we're hot, we're live.
Oh, yeah.
We look like cell phone bars. And I don't know why the camera is set up this way, but Dirt is easily the highest.
I mean, I am the tallest one on the show, so it's accurate.
Swags.
Thank you, Swaggart.
Is second because it's just so zoomed up.
Yeah, it's so zoomed in.
It's nipples up to Swag.
If you have any sort of acne on your face, you're screwed. There's that camera's like an inch away from your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lowercase, Steven. I hope you guys don't have pimples, man.
Use that face medicine. Wash your face
every day. Mine is so zoomed out that I look tiny. I look like Jimmy Carter sitting next to Joe Biden.
Like a miniature
person.
Look
at me. Look at me on the YouTube page.
You're like a miniature doll.
I look tiny. Swag looks like he'd eat me with his head.
He would. Old fat Swag would take
Swag,
you down
you
two
lean
bites.
Towards the camera, looking like you're going to try to bite my head. It looks crazy.
I don't know who messes with those every day, but somehow we come in every day and the cameras are just a little bit different.
Everything's in a different.
Every day. You know,
it's,
we're not the only ones here.
What
I get
can you
it.
Do about it? You know?
Other people exist too.
So I want to start with some sports stuff outside of how excited I am for Tuesdays, ooh,
yeah.
Which is a
I do love
day.
Tuesdays too.
You do love Tuesdays
I do.
As well?
The mail sack has made my Tuesday better.
Yeah.
I look forward to the mail sack every week.
It's lifted my spirits from Tuesday and what it used to be.
You kind of get out of that middle of the week droll and you're like, all right, let's get to the mail sack. It's fun.
So I'm excited about the PGA being on right now. It's a major championship. You know, you get to follow it. We got our guy Bryce Fisher out there. Not off to the best start, but, you know, he's out there.
It's a hard course, man. He's struggling a little bit. We all assume that. Let's find our way to the cup, Bryce. We can do this, buddy.
I'm sure he's got a little adrenaline pumping this morning, too.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Yeah, my app was malfunctioning this morning. I got up at and I turned on the ESPN app at about 4:20. And I'm like, let's see what Bryce is doing, because I know he just teed off. And it said one under. And I'm like, dude, open bird?
Let's go, dude.
So I text you guys, and you both made me feel like an idiot. Because when I got in, he was +3. And you're like, he parred the first hole. I'm like, my ESPN app literally had B. Fisher one under. I promise you.
This is why you can't trust technology, all right? But it's not a you error. It's a technology error.
In talking about the PGA Championship and its relevance or irrelevance or the format and, you know, where it ranks in the majors, all that stuff.
Sure.
So last night, I go over to my brother and sister-in-law's house because it's my sister-in-law's birthday. So my wife is like, let's go say hi, happy birthday. My kids get excited. So about 8 o'clock, we go over there.
Yeah.
So we meander over, and I go in there, and I'm watching. I walk in. My brother-in-law and my nephew are watching golf on YouTube. And you know who they're watching?
Mm.
The Doucher.
The Doucher. What's he doing? Is he breaking 50? Is he playing with kid clubs?
He's playing with like 7 other golf YouTube influence people.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you watching Bob Does Sports? And they're like, no, watching Bryson DeChambeau. And I'm like, I've never actually watched his YouTube channel.
I have not either. I know it's big. He's got a big following.
He's got a huge following. And then every guy playing with him, I don't recognize any of these names.
Sure.
I'm like, who's this guy? Who's so-and-so? Who's that guy? Who's so-and-so? One guy's wearing shorts barely past his balls. And I'm like, who is that guy? And they're like, I think he's a long driver. And you're like, yeah, he looks like a bodybuilder who just
legs
swings
are
out of his butt every swing. He doesn't use the driver. He hit an 8-iron 220. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Jesus, dude.
But I'm watching this, and they're...
Harness that power. Use it for good.
Tim Cup stuff right there.
He was far and away of the golf I watched, the worst player of the group.
He could just hit the ball a long ways.
Just goes far, but it was fading, or he was yanking. Like, it wasn't good. His putts were terrible.
Right.
But I'm watching this, and, you know, I'm somewhat in on YouTube golf. Sometimes I watch it, and other times I'm like, why does anybody watch this? We make fun of children who watch children play toys on YouTube. This is the male adult equivalent.
Yes, or watching people play video games on YouTube instead of playing video games. You could just go play yourself.
Exactly.
Isn't that more enjoyable just to do it yourself?
That's how it feels. That's how it feels to me. But I still watch it from time to time.
Sure.
I'll admit it.
I think it depends on the, like, if there's somebody funny or interesting that you want to see. Like, the LeBron one was a big one that kind of got outside of the golf bubble of YouTube.
Well, I enjoy Bob Does Sports because I think that crew is the most laid-back, fun, relatable. And then, like, I used to watch the Barstool...
Foreplay?
Not Foreplay. The guy trying to break 90.
Oh, Trent. Yeah,
Trent.
He's on the, Foreplay podcast.
That was always fun to me because as a guy who's broken 80 or broken 90 a ton... I love watching somebody be worse than me over and over and over again.
Somebody who sucks, who's trying to reach a goal, and you know how hard it is to do.
But I haven't really watched a lot of YouTube golf in some time. LeBron won exempt. I hadn't watched it in like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this because they're watching it, and they're into it, and they're making some good shots and whatnot. And I start bringing up DeChambeau. And it, you know what I've come to the conclusion on is YouTube golf bro... much different view and opinion of Bryson DeChambeau than probably standard
country club
golf guy.
Like
both of you, I would even throw, not even country club, just diehard, passionate golf fans who enjoy the tour, enjoy the players on the tour, because Bryson to them, dude, he's so cool. I'm like, he might ditch the tour to do this. We're like, yeah, and I'm like, I mean, go compete. They're like, I don't know, man, this is pretty cool, and I was like. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, for your generation, it works.
And then the counter is our opinions of Bryson, where I can sometimes get behind it, and other times I laugh when he's miserable.
Yes, it's funny to watch him struggle occasionally.
Coincidentally, on this video, he was blowing up and losing to these random golfers I'd never heard of. He's hitting the trees.
Come on, Bryson.
But it just was interesting, the takeaway of like, man, to have one sport have a split fan base that
very
way.
Different, like, and unique. Yep. Yeah.
Football, basketball, baseball, they don't have it. And right. I think golf, as more pro golfers may get into YouTube golf on the side gig because it makes money.
Yes.
It's a very interesting world where there's people who will watch YouTube golf, but they won't watch PGA Tour events, major or non-major.
It's the funny thing about the argument of growing the game, where you're certainly getting more eyeballs on the sport of golf, but not on the events, if that makes sense. Like, more people than ever are watching the sport of golf in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always, this idea as if you're big on YouTube, it translates to more eyeballs watching tournaments on the weekend.
Right.
It's just not true. Like, maybe some, maybe a small percentage, but there's a lot of people, and I know people in my own life who don't watch that many golf tournaments, but will watch YouTube golf, or four-play events, or Bob does sports religiously, but they're not sitting down watching, you know, is Ricky Fowler going to win this weekend at Quail Hollow? Like, it just doesn't, the two worlds don't really mesh.
They're not tuning in for the Travelers Championships coming up.
It's a very unique thing. Like, the only equivalent I could give, and this isn't even a fair equivalent because you're watching the actual sport when it happens, I feel like there's a lot of people in the NBA that are this way, that watch basketball via YouTube highlights or TikTok videos or mashups or whatever, but they don't actually translate that from, like, I'm going to sit down and watch X amount of games throughout the course of the year. But it's not the same because you're watching, you're watching the NBA, but I do think there's a lot of people that watch that way as opposed to sitting down and actually watching games.
You know what's interesting? That's a good point by you, because I didn't put the NBA in the category. Now, I should note, like, just because I know this, we are literally talking about, you know, a mid-40s-year-old guy, and my nephew is a junior in high school. So, like, and he's starting to get into golf at a young age, and my brother-in-law, I've been golfing with him for years.
Sure. Which is great. You can play it your whole life. You should start young.
Those are literally two human beings. They don't watch the Masters.
Interesting.
Take the biggest golf tournament of the year.
That's
for
the
people.
Biggest golf tournament of the year.
To even get people who tell us we talk too much golf,
right?
They will even tune into some portion of the Masters if they're sports fans. They literally won't watch a whole of the Masters.
That is so weird.
But they will watch a full round of YouTube golf of, like, seven random guys that aren't pros against Bryson DeChambeau.
I want, like, a psychological study. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm just genuinely curious of, like, you clearly enjoy golf if you're willing to watch hours upon hours of it on YouTube.
I think it's the relatability of guys that are better than you, but, like, you still watch them have dumb shots the way you do.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
I get it.
I wonder if that is part of it. And on the basketball side, that's a good point by you to bring up the highlight part. That might be why kids of, let's call it 8 to 18. The 10-year little window there.
Sure.
I bet you that's why some of those kids, when you ask them their favorite players in the association, it's Paul George, it's Shaden Sharp, it's because
highlight guys,
they're eating the highlights up. It's the step back, the ball, it's the dunk on.
What's the ball in Charlotte? LaMelo.
Oh, LaMelo.
LaMelo
Ball
is
a
huge fan
one.
Favorite for those generations.
Right.
Because, like, he throws cool passes on.
Yes.
It's like Jason Williams for us back in the day.
Which they're trying to resurface now, like, White Chocolate was here. But it's like, he had some moments, there's no doubt.
He was a good player, sure.
But they got substantially better when Mike Bibby came in for him.
He was a more all-around guard that wasn't just throwing behind-the-back passes. But those highlights on a fast break were badass, were they not?
Like,
and we ate it up. It was like the and-one mixtape era of our generation. Now what happens in the NBA.
Well, I'm curious, like, if basketball has this a little bit, but golf is really hitting.
But again, it's different, though, because at least you're watching, like, you're not watching Grant Horvat. You're watching Steph Curry highlights.
Guy was one of the guys.
Yeah, he's one of the big YouTube guys.
I've never heard of him before.
He gets exemptions. He plays in random tournaments from time to time.
Beautiful swing.
Yeah.
It's so smooth.
It's a fascinating thing for me of, like, you have the bones of a game where you could try and pursue a career.
He looks like a pro golfer in this, the way he plays.
Yeah, and he shows up. He'll play events from time to time. It's like, if you're that good, wouldn't you want to, like...
So he is, like, a borderline pro golfer?
He's played in PGA Tour. I don't know if PGA Tour sanctioned events or if it's Korn Ferry events, but he's gotten...
Why doesn't he pursue it?
I don't get it. He's making a lot of money on YouTube golf, so maybe he's just happy doing
money
that.
Money hungry.
But it's just interesting to me, if you wouldn't... If you were that close to the cusp of being able to do it, wouldn't you... Like, the Bob does sports guys, you get, because
none of them are pros.
They suck, and their things are like, let's eat 15 donuts in 15 holes and see who throws up first. Yeah. And it's funny, and it's entertaining. Like, it's a very different brand than watching a guy go out there and shoot 73 on a good course.
It's the... You know when people use the... the competitive killer gene argument stuff in basketball.
LeChoke doesn't have it.
Yeah, I sometimes despise the sentiment. But what I would say on it is, so if I was to take that guy, what's his name, Grant Horvat?
Grant Horvat, yeah.
If you take a guy like Grant Horvat who could be playing on the Corn Ferry or maybe even making it as a, you know, very end-of-the-line PGA guy, my personality type, I cannot understand why you wouldn't pursue it. Now, you can tell me, Sprague, he makes $7 million a year on YouTube. And I would say, that's great. That is life-changing money. There's nothing wrong with anybody wanting to get the bag. But I, as a competitive person,
I would want to
compete against the best to see if I can be the best.
Give it a full go, and if it doesn't work, then you can always go back to YouTube golf.
I can bail after 2 years if it's not working out and just be the YouTube golf guy who's exceptionally good. But I can't relate to that. You might not grit your teeth like Michael Jordan, but if you're going to compete for 23 years, I know you are a killer who is competitive.
Yes.
Versus you can compete on a certain level with certain golfers, and you're choosing to hit with a guy wearing boxer briefs on the course.
The only thing I wonder about that is because he probably, you know, if he's played in a tournament or something, the lifestyle, especially in an individual sport like tennis players and golfers.
Is your iPad on? Like, is the volume
on? My audio might be on. Sorry.
I was what? Is my laptop?
Echo? That was on me.
Okay.
Hand up. That was basically from. My ESPN's not working on the TV. I got to get it on the iPad. I'm struggling over here.
But yeah, that lifestyle of week to week traveling by yourself, being away from family, that's a grind.
Yeah.
And that I understand if he's like, if I can get a sponsor exemption here and there, playing a tournament, say I did it, but do this on the side, a lifestyle sort of thing.
Who would that you be? I get. If I told you you were buttery smooth swing guy who's pretty good and you could cut it on the Corn Ferry and maybe get yourself to the PGA, who are you? Are you give it up and do YouTube and once in a blue moon do a tournament guy, or are you going for it?
I'm you guys know me. I would be out there competing if I could, if I had a chance to make the Champions Tour at this point.
To me, it's the equivalent of, Sprague, you have two options here. You can play in the G League once a year in a game and maybe score 16 points. And then on the side, you just go home and you go into a barn and you hit between your leg shots
there
with
you
a drone.
You do a dude perfect thing or something.
Or you can grind it out for a season on the G League and maybe get the call up to be a two-way guy for a couple months. I am taking the secondary
option. Get a cup of coffee in the NBA, even if it's for 2 weeks.
Can I do it? Can I really do it? If I just everything else put aside.
Wouldn't you regret it later in life if you didn't do
it? Exactly.
Like, you would look
that's
back 20 years from now and say, like, God, I never really fully fulfilled that.
Yeah.
Never really chased that dream down.
Exactly.
And it's just, it would be the equivalent. I'll go back to the And1 stuff because And1 mixtapes were big when we were kids.
Huge.
And we knew the names. It was like a rare thing where there was almost a similar level of celebrity from non-NBA players to NBA players.
I would argue, not to interrupt you, I'll just speak on my experience. At Park Rose, when I was there in the early 2000s, I would argue And1 mixtape tour impacted basketball culture more than the NBA did.
I don't think you're wrong. It was that big of a deal.
You had players, certainly. Sure. You had Kobe's and AI's.
Yes. You knew the names of the N1 players.
The
everybody
NBA players
did.
Were showing up to the N1 mixtape tours.
to watch them.
To watch them do, like, glorified Harlem Globetrotters stuff.
It would be the equivalent of one of those guys legitimately having the ability to play in the NBA, but because they were making good money on N1, choosing not to do it.
Because you can always go back to N1. That's my whole thing.
You can always go back and do it. It's a very unique thing, man, that exists in the golf world where the bubble in the tent is bigger than it's ever been. But the eyeballs are very spread out, and
I
it's
know.
Not all translating to, hey, let's watch the PGA Tour this weekend. It's very unique.
Can I ask you a quick YouTube question?
Fire away.
Since we're on YouTube.
Yes, we are. We are YouTube stars, don't you know?
Do you think you would be good on camera being filmed during a golf round? Because part of that is you have to, like,
get to be on. There's a character element to it.
You kind of have to turn it on while you're trying to play good golf.
Yeah, if you're in one of those, like, we're just having fun, let's try and, like, shotgun a beer every three holes, if I'm doing that level of YouTube
but
golf.
But you also have this, you want to be the best-known golfer of the group on the YouTube. So if you're not shotgunning the beer guy.
Right.
I've been around you when you've had some good rounds, some great rounds.
I don't think I would be very, if it was, like, a legitimate, let's play lowest score possible, I don't think I would be that entertained.
Because you're not a Debbie Downer, and you get, I can tell when you're pissed off, but it's very quiet in nature.
Yeah.
And like, you would just not talk a lot.
Yeah, you're
I'm focused. You're focused. You're in your own head. You're battling your own demons every shot.
You either love me or hate me on the golf course. You're like, God, I hate this guy. He sucks. And
I would
he gets
have
mad.
To do. That's why the Bob Dove Sports One is the most relatable to me, because if I were to do something, it would, like, they do scrambles. It's not just your ball every shot, and there's always some sort of fun challenge, and you're just laughing the entire time. I certainly can do those rounds of golf, and I have a lot of fun doing them.
Right.
But if it's your own ball, like, nah, dude, I'm grinding over this thing, man. I'm in the trees here. You're not getting a joke out of me on three. I just missed the fairway. I got to find a way back in.
The funny thing about that is you would be the best golfer, but you would go to YouTube comments every single episode see how many people hate you, and you're like, come on, I just shot a 76.
Put a little respect on my name, would you?
Yeah, the Sprague guy, though, he shot a 97. Man,
jumping up and down after a bladed chip.
It was fun.
Throwing a club. Everybody loves it, man.
He's got no decorum out there. You love it. Yeah, you're right.
Fix your divots, all right?
You're right. All right, we got a lot to get to today. It's going to be a fun show. Dirt and Sprague on a Magic Cat Thursday. We get it going next on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your Thursday's going all right out there. Got Dirt playing around with an iPad. Got the PGA Championship on the television.
Trying to watch some golf, man. Don't make it so hard for me. Just put it on TV.
It's a delightful little Thursday start here on the radio program. Did you see last night? It didn't happen until the very, very end. Did you see last night Lisa Salter interview James Harden in the postgame?
I missed the postgame interview.
Yeah, she interviewed James Harden because, you know, James Harden had a fine game. He didn't shoot efficiently, but he had a fine game.
It was a very modern NBA James Harden game. He had 31 points, and if you look at the box where you think, hey, that's not bad, he made 8 shots.
He almost threw up on himself like 8 different times, but they luckily didn't get scored on in those moments.
He had 11 made free throws.
But he got the postgame interview, and so Lisa Salter does her post-game interview. Harden walks away, and still on camera, Lisa Salter lowers the microphone, but just enough where when she turns around to talk to him, you hear what she says, and she goes, work on your free throws.
Lisa Salter said that to James
Straight
Harden?
Straight to him.
After the game?
Right into his soul. And I'm sure she has a relationship with
Harden.
That
has to be like an inside joke or something. Yeah,
no, he was terrible in the fourth quarter from the free throw line.
He was. I know.
It's just a funny thing to hear a reporter say to somebody after they've won, like, work on your free throws. Like, that's such a Reddit comment. Yeah, we won. He played okay. Work on your free throws.
I love the level of honesty there in that moment. I miss that because I had the two screens going on at the same time, and I think the audio was on the other game for the walk. So I saw the walk-off interview, but I just didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So there was no audio. Good for Lisa Salters, man. James Harden, I love the turnaround of the opinion on James Harden after that game, where he makes 11 free throws, I think, on the night. Goes for 31, so naturally 20 points that he scores on 8 field goals. He's not very efficient. I think he was 8 of, what, 21?
He was 8 of 21, 8 3 of 21, 10 from 3.
3 of 10 from 3. Yeah. Like, that's not a very good efficient shooting
it's
night.
6 turnovers.
But they win the game because Detroit doesn't have anybody other than Cade Cunningham with a pulse offensively, and nobody can get him a bucket when they need one. Just double-team Cade and get the ball out of his hands, and nobody else could shoot. They find a way to win as what should be a favorite in that scenario. And James Harden, he's exercised his demons in the postseason, though.
Do it in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
They had to play Paul Reed at the end there for Detroit over Durin.
They did.
I don't know what you do if you're Detroit here.
This is one of those, I think, largely your opinion on the younger up-and-coming teams is accurate, but I also don't want a blanket statement it for everybody.
I'm with you on this.
OKC losing 2 years ago, you're like, dude, you got all these assets. Let's run it back for another year. You felt close. San Antonio, if they lose in the conference finals or shockingly lose to Minnesota twice.
You run it back.
Like, you're fine. You're going to be okay. Detroit is not that. It is not.
But how much do you tweak? Because what they had was a good recipe for 60 wins, but to your point, like, Dennis Jenkins needing to be their offense outside of Cade Cunningham is a problem.
Cade Cunningham has delivered in the postseason.
Dude, he was great last night. 39-9-7.
Yes, and he was 13-27 from the floor, 6-10 from three. Like, he was efficient. He was awesome.
He had six turnovers as well.
But
still,
handling the ball. Like, he's got it, man. Like, in terms of how aggressive you'd be, my fear factor, if I were a Detroit fan right now, would be the Houston Rockets. Now, you have a better young player than what Houston has had, but now that we've seen Houston kind of climb up this ladder and then get bounced early in the playoffs back-to-back years, what's their ultimate problem? And they thought KD was going to fix it. They don't have offense. You need somebody that can go get you a bucket in the playoffs. We dealt with this against San Antonio.
Yes.
Then in an off game for Denny, it's like, who are you going to – is Kamara going to do it? If Scoot's not going off and having a miracle game, like, that's the problem for Detroit. And they have found that some of their guys, Thompson has not been an impactful. I know he had a big, strip late in the game to send the game to overtime. He's very good defensively. I think you have to question, what is his ceiling offensively? The same goes for Duren, who has moments where he's just not impactful on that end of the floor.
Well, he doesn't have much of an offensive game. He has a lot of good motor, pick and roll stuff.
Thompson's the same way. And so the answer is you got to go find more offense. Now, it's easier said than done because then you're the Orlando Magic trading five first-round picks for Desmond Bane.
Overcompensating.
And so I don't know where they go from here. They might still win the series. Like, Cleveland is certainly capable of gacking a couple of games away, and James Harden's one of the worst playoff players we've ever seen. So that thing's not over yet. But I still think even if you get to the conference finals, you're looking in the mirror saying, it feels like there's a large gap here because we have nobody else that can score.
God, I was going because that was the best game of the series. That
without
was
a doubt.
Great basketball game last
fun.
Night.
Yeah.
Pistons were up, felt like they might get it, and then Cleveland came back kind of in the last 3 minutes of it, went on a big run. I think he went a 13-0 run, including overtime, and end up sealing things away. Donovan Mitchell played a lot better at the end of the fourth and in overtime.
Yeah.
Think about our situation. I just continue to watch from our vantage point here. So you're so right to point out, like, Houston. If I was in Houston, we'd be saying, well, we shouldn't have this problem. If we had Kevin Durant, shouldn't Şengün at a minimum be our second guy?
Right. Shouldn't that be enough offensively?
Why isn't he?
Right.
Right? So, like, if he can't be your second guy, how the hell are you going to find a second guy? You look at the other playoff teams. Detroit is dealing with this. We certainly are in this category, whereas you look at the Knicks – the Knicks have a couple, like, Cat, say what you want about him. He can go get you 30.
He's a great shooting big who can run the floor. Like, yeah.
I do tend to think we pile on that guy a little too much.
Agreed.
I asked yesterday some coworkers off the air, what about trading for, like, a Cat if they get involved in a Giannis trade? Absolutely not. And I'm like, well, should we absolutely not anything?
He could arguably be the best player on your roster next year.
Yeah, maybe he is,
like,
maybe he isn't,
but he's
somebody that if Denny gets me 28, I'm probably looking at his box score, and he's gotten me 24.
A pick and pop and big that you can give the ball to and is an effective three-point shooter would be very helpful.
Well, say what you want about him. He's got a little bit of a run here of when he goes to teams, they have success.
Yeah.
Is that just – he has nothing to do with that?
Right. I think there's this visceral reaction to a lot of players in the NBA primarily because of their contract. And you look at paying a guy, is Cat worth $50 million?
I think with him it's his personality.
And that's definitely a part of it,
too. He's got a different voice every interview.
He does.
He's a little –
he's goofy.
Yeah, he's goofy.
He's
that's a,
goofy a
good
guy.
Way of putting it.
He's
goofy.
A goofy cat, man.
Yeah.
He's a goofy cat.
The Knicks have it. The Thunder clearly have it. They've got 12 guys that can score the basketball.
I think the assistant coach could put on a uniform and drop 17 for him in the second half.
And we know San Antonio has it. Yeah. And right now you look at the stand, like, Denver's problem was Jamal Murray just went cold. Mm-hmm. But I'd still say Denver has it unless they make a trade.
Yeah, you got two guys who can carry an offense.
Minnesota, I think when Ann is healthy, has it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as consistent for them. But you look at us and you look at Detroit and vast difference there of what, 18 win difference.
Yeah.
They're dealing with the same issues.
Same problem.
They don't have a secondary score. And I think the hardest thing in the league right now, it used to be we just need like a 6'7", 6'9" wing. Like, that was always a default thing. Like,
need a 3-and-D guy.
The whole league does. I think right now when you look at the league, even the teams remaining and the teams who have been defeated, they're dealing with the same problem. Who is your second scorer? Yep. And Portland is absolutely in this category. And you saw last night, so is Detroit. As good as they played, they needed a second guy to lift them up, and they didn't have it.
No, it becomes so easy throughout the course of a series. And even in a game last night where you know, you're not even stopping Cade Cunningham, but when you need a bucket late in the game, you're throwing the kitchen sink at him and just simply saying, anybody else, go ahead.
He looked like LeBron on the Cavs teams in the first run.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me, honestly, of watching Damian Lillard era games in Portland, where he would go for 50 in a playoff game, and it didn't matter because your teammates would step out of bounds, and they could be Al-Farouq Aminu couldn't make a shot to save his life.
He at least had CJ to score. Like, you are just never going to let out of bounds play go,
never. That's one of the greatest games I've ever seen in NBA history, and he stepped out of bounds to lose it. I'll never forgive him for it. We also should have traded him 5 years earlier, but that wasn't his fault. But that, I mean, it reminded me of those kind of teams, and it's an easier said than done problem to fix because your options are who's available in free agency and what are the chances that guy's signing in Detroit that puts you over the top? What are the odds that where you're drafting, which is going to be at the end of the first round, you're getting somebody that can come in and play immediately? Or option three is you have to get aggressive and you're a little desperate and there's a team out there that says, fine, we'll trade you our guy, but we want a king's ransom for him. And then you're essentially mortgaging your future to go get that player, putting all the eggs in that basket. And if it doesn't fully work or one other piece falls off or you lose, like, it just, it's a very slippery slope from going from, hey, we feel like we're on the brink of contention to, wait a minute, how did we go from a one seed to a four seed and now we're losing in the first round of the playoffs?
Do you think teams, I'm kind of curious about this with a second apron. Do you think NBA teams that are in these categories we're talking about, Houston's, the Detroit's, us, do you think they're going to get weird this summer, or do you think they're going to largely run?
That's a good question.
Stuff back, because what we're identifying here is not just something that's laying around the whole league.
No, like there's just a lot of teams. Find a guy that can drop 25 a night.
Yeah,
there's and acquire him.
Teams struggling with the secondary score. Like, who's the secondary score for the Clippers? It's supposed to be Mathurin, I think, but he's
Garland.
Yeah, I guess. But you don't feel great when you comp that to Kawhi.
No, not at all. Maybe, he wasn't a good secondary scorer for Donovan Mitchell. That was part of the reason they made the trade in Cleveland.
Yeah, and maybe Garland will be more healthy next year and get it together.
He could be, yeah.
There's a lot of teams looking for this thing. And I don't know how aggressive. Are they all going to be aggressive and try to find it? Or are some teams, is Detroit going to look at this and say, dude, second round this year, 60 wins, one seed, that's a great year. Run it back and see if so-and-so can develop, or is it be aggressive and go make the trade?
I think it's interesting, too, when you look at the guys who will be available, because to the point on Kat earlier in the segment, I don't know if he's available or not.
I don't either.
But it also, it leads to the, no matter who you're going after, likely in that conversation, there's going to be some negativity. I don't know what
there's
the word would
be. There's going to be blowback to it.
Like, Anthony Davis is one of these guys.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis is capable of carrying an offense and being a number two scorer.
But
he's
going to
stay healthy,
enough.
And he makes $60 million a year.
Exactly.
Ja Morant can be a very good player when on the floor.
Right.
He can be a guy who can create for everybody around him. Is that the risk you want to take? So it's funny that almost every single one of those guys has a little bit of baggage to him, and you wonder, it's a big risk because they could get hurt. The contract's too big. It screws up your finances, and it's a gamble you got to see if you can take.
Patience or aggressiveness, I think, is an interesting point in the NBA right now. Cleveland gets the road win. They look to close out the Pistons in Game 6 in Cleveland. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more at 6:39 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got a lot to get to in this second hour, which is just coming up here in about 15 minutes. We had a snip-snap in NFL yesterday.
Snip-snap.
That was going to be one thing, ended up being another.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
We'll talk about that. But in regards to the conversation, because here's the interesting part to me. We don't have a game tonight. Minnesota and San Antonio tomorrow.
What are we doing, NBA?
Well, you had two series that ended in sweeps. It's just one of the oddities.
They gave Minnesota and San Antonio an extra day off.
Yeah, they were doing every other day. And
because
then
Prime wanted
day.
A doubleheader on Friday. That's why they did it.
All right.
And it's dumb.
That's okay.
Yeah, I have no...
Highlight the NHL. You got day one of the PGA.
I get it. There's other things going on. I just, you know,
need a break.
Fill my hole tonight.
The PGA is not going to be on at like 5 o'clock our time.
It will not. It will be over. It will be 8 p.m.
It's an
all-day
event, and then it ends in the p.m. when people get home.
Yeah. Hockey was great last night, though.
It was a great comeback
hockey
by the Avs.
Be great again
the goal
tonight.
By McKinnon was, for those who didn't see the tying goal, go watch the tying goal. Absolute insanity.
You're going to disrupt me with hockey.
I apologize. You can continue. Power through. Don't get distracted.
Well, it, in some ways, it's in regards to our conversation here. Mm-hmm. Not that Portland is in any kind of title window. I certainly wouldn't lie about that. I'm more kind of curious, like James Harden, is considered like one of the all-time chokers in the NBA's history.
Yes, he is.
Got a league MVP, and he's just somebody that you get to game seven, you're not going to trust him.
No.
But I'm kind of curious about greats in other sports and how we feel about them, how we gauge them. Like Ovechkin took almost his whole career before he finally got a Stanley Cup.
Took him a long time to get there.
But man, that one, you just
changed everything.
He needed just the one.
But he had the same problem where Crosby got a couple and they were the two that were the top of the sport. And Crosby piled up a couple of trophies and it's, well, he's got three and you got none. And then he finally broke through and won one.
Well, but it's interesting because I feel like in hockey, even if the great guy doesn't score a goal in a big moment, we don't use that in the history of their careers. And I could be wrong on this. I'm not trying to pretend I know this. Mm-hmm. But we don't use it against them in the what is the legacy of the career stuff. You just either note they got one or they got none. Like the Edmonton guy. I'm blanking.
Connor McDavid.
McDavid, thank you. Yeah. I was going to say McGregor, and I'm like, that's not his name. McDavid comes up short this year. He's lost two Stanley Cups in a row to the same team.
I think he's the greatest hockey player on the planet.
Right, but Nate McKinnon might get his second Stanley Cup.
Very well could.
And you just noted the game-tying goal he had in the final minutes of that game.
90 seconds to go. It was the size of your cell phone.
Yeah, roof daddy.
It was a roof daddy.
The ultimate roof daddy goal with 90 seconds to tie the game.
The ultimate roof daddy goal by Nate McKinnon. And even non-fans were making that, Abs fans were making that noise. But, like, we don't do this to those guys. This sport specifically, we do it to them, but the NFL, we do it a little bit, but we don't really do it all that
quarterbacks
much.
Quarterbacks. No other position gets it. We don't ever use it in, like, a wide receiver debate.
Like, if you're one of the greatest, you know, offensive guards of all time.
Right. But you never won a ring.
You never
Randy
won
Moss.
A ring.
How many rings does Randy Moss have?
Right. He's regarded as a top 3, 4, 5
Larry Fitzgerald. There's no, like, well, he's not a GOAT. Guy never won a ring. We only use it for quarterbacks.
But do they do it in hockey? Like, how does Ovechkin's career rank against Sid the Kid's? Because he's broken records that people didn't think he'd break.
It's a fun conversation to have because would you rather have more trophies or a record that people didn't think would get broken?
There's not a single fan breathing that says, give me the records. I live to watch my team win
the championship. I also think those sports recognize how much of a team concept it truly is.
Why does basketball not get that? It's only five guys.
I know.
Even the best player on the team scores 30 points. Most of these games are getting to the 1 to the 110s.
I mean, look at Cade Cunningham literally last night. He was unbelievable.
That's 80 points you
but
need
the NBA
somebody else
has
score.
Always marketed itself based on its stars.
But marketing is not
than...
the same as people who have played the sport and watched it. If you have a brain, you know one guy can lift you but can't single-handedly win you the championship.
And that's where I think we lost the plot, going all the way back to the MJ conversation, is if he did this single-handedly and Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman and Steve Kerr and
tag-alongs.
Then none of them had anything to do with it.
Jordan never won a playoff series without Scottie Pippen.
No, he did not.
Not after he left the Bulls and not before Scottie was a Bull.
Exactly.
LeBron James just won the first round with Rui Hachimura, Luke Kennard, and Marcus Smart.
Yeah, who was on that first Cavs team? Booby Gibson.
It's one
Gibson
of the worst
and...
teams of all time. Yeah, it's horrible, but he carried him to a finals.
J.R. Smith and...
It's an interesting question because I think part of it is fair, part of it is also unfair. I think to this point of basketball, we just have this romanticized nature of other guys winning, and if you don't live up to a certain standard as the star player, we hold it against you and act like it's your fault. But it also is the one sport where I think... we could all agree the star player probably has the most control over the outcome of the game. Would we agree with that?
Is it over quarterback?
I think
so because you're not playing half of the time. Like if your defense gets up 40 points, there's nothing you could do.
Yeah.
You're not on the field playing defense.
You score 41.
You can try to do that, but it's hard to do in the NFL.
I tend to believe hockey is the same way
where you can have a big impact. You play both ways.
You can score a goal.
But if you got a bad goaltender, dude, it doesn't matter. You could go 4-for-4 as Shohei Ohtani, but if your pitcher gives up 7 runs.
The baseball stuff is right, the most. It doesn't matter.
So that's your third line keeps taking penalties.
Right,
and you're on the penalty kill the whole game.
And it's like, I scored 2 goals and not an assist, but we lost 4-2. What happened here? Like, so that's the one thing where you definitely need help in the NBA. But I also feel like you still have the most control.
Yeah.
And it's not always your fault if your team loses. That's not the argument. Harden's just unique because he's been so historically bad.
He has.
I think it's one thing to parcel through Cade Cunningham's game last night.
Yeah.
He is not the reason the Detroit Pistons lost the game.
Okay, so Let's use that.
Yeah.
Cade Cunningham, I thought, was awesome last night.
He almost had a triple-double and nearly 40 points.
He hit some really big shots too late to keep them, like, you know, completely drowning. They gave up a big run, and the Cavs came back. In the history of bringing Skip Bayless back on my television, in the history of Mad Dog Rose out, all of these guys say, I don't care what you did the 97% of the game. What did you do the last 3%? And they gave up a 13-0 run, went to overtime, and lost the game. So who gets the blame?
It's dumb, but yeah.
Well, it is dumb.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my point here. Because
this is the whole point that I make sometimes on quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, you have to have context in a conversation.
But quarterbacks don't get that leeway either. Like, we can recognize a team has bad defense. Joe Burrow has been dealing with this.
Yes.
But he's not making the playoffs. You know who is? Josh Allen. Give me Josh Allen all day over Joe Burrow. And right. I'm like... you're splitting hairs.
Right.
I don't know who's better.
Right.
Who's team? I'm such a big team guy.
If you switch the teams, the quarterbacks on the teams, is the outcome of the teams different?
Well, I don't know. Josh Allen uses his legs a little more. He's a little more durable.
He does.
Yeah, he's not missing seasons to a candy ass ACL tear. What is that, bro?
Quit being soft.
Aren't you toughing up?
Quit being such a bitch.
But I think it's interesting because you can mix hockey in with this conversation of, I don't think Connor McDavid is going to be knocked down a peg for anybody if Nate McKinnon wins a second Stanley Cup. And Nate McKinnon is also a young stud hockey player in kind of
arguably
the same class.
Second best in the sport, right? I mean, he's been very good for his entire career, number one overall pick. Here's what I will say. I think it's fair to say that Connor McDavid, in terms of like the opinion of him as a player, will not be downgraded, but he is now becoming a guy who will have to answer for this. Answer for the not getting over the hump. Like, when they lost the gold medal game, when Canada lost, by the way, go look at the side-by-side of the goal that McKinnon missed in the gold medal game and then the goal that he scored last night, and it'll blow your mind because he had a wide-open net and he couldn't score. And then last night he's got this, you know,
that razor-thin margin.
Inch-by-inch margin, and he finds a way to put it in the back of the net. That's the funny thing about sports. But after the gold medal game, he was asked, like, hey, how come you can't win this? Like that, it's starting to become a question of him that he's going to have to ask, and it weighs on you. Mm. Similar to the Rory stuff we went through. Like, all the years of not winning the Masters. Every year you show up for the Masters, what's the question?
Why didn't you win it?
Why can't you do it? Are you going to do it this year? And so that pressure builds internally. But I don't think anybody will downgrade him as a player and act as if he's not the best in the NHL. But it certainly will become a noisy chatter around him his entire career until he gets over the hump.
All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Let's kick it off with a little NFL chatter. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.